833 today.
Ahmadinejad says Iran won't be bullied by the West and claims they produced a batch of uranium enriched to a higher level than originally thought that they could even produce. VP Joe Biden predicts that a large-scale attack unlikely. Like Madam Cleo, I guess he just looked into the crystal ball. A lot of people not too happy with JoJo. And, of course, the president is now trying to decide whether or not to continue down the path of this 9/11 trial of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and four others. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight, coast to coast and everywhere in between. Hope you are safe and warm as you kick back and listen to this show and participate. Remember, you can always jingle the digits, 800-259-5791. Who better to join us right from the get-go than my favorite terrorism expert, Jeff Atticott. Jeff, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Kate.
You know, it was a weird day for all things related to terror, but let's jump into the 9/11 thing first, because you and I have talked about this a lot. So right now, where it's at, which is ridiculous that we're even to this point, but the Attorney General, Eric Holder, as you know, says, okay, let's have this trial here at the courtroom in Manhattan, the federal courtroom, just a stone's throw away from so-called Ground Zero. The mayor, who's all on board, and Chuck Schumer is all on board, and all this other sort of stuff. Then all of a sudden they realize, ooh, geez, it might cost a ton of money, because what could happen? You know, all the protection we're going to have out there. And maybe this will actually incite some problems with would-be terrorists who might get motivated to pull something in the Big Apple. So just your thoughts at where this whole ridiculous thing is at this point.
You're exactly right. I mean, what you've just laid out is the policy reasons why it was a dumb decision. The legal reasons are just as manifest. If you recall, Holder made the decision when he had 10 enemy combatants from Gitmo. He said, I'm going to send five of them to military commissions. Then Obama had stopped the military commission process in January, and then he restarted it in June. And he said in the same breath that I'm going to take five other enemy combatants, which happen to be some of the senior leaders, I'm going to try them at a federal court in New York. So from a legal position, very schizophrenic. Why would you take five and put them in one forum and five in another forum? It didn't really make any sense. If they're enemy combatants, they should all go to military commissions. And then, as you point out, from a practical perspective, whoever is advising the president, if there's one terrorist incident that is traced to your decision to put these folks in New York, you're a one-term president. So not only is it not smart, it's legally confusing, and, of course, this administration for the past year has been, you know, just one confusion after the other. It took it took almost a full year before the president made his first clear announcement that we were at war on January the 7th. He said, we're at war, we're at war against al-Qaeda. It took a year for him to figure that one out. So, you know, it's a very confused process right now that the administration is facing. They've got a lot of egg on their face. Because now the public pressure is so great that they're essentially not going to hold it in New York. But does that mean they're going to, you know, send them to a military commission where they should have gone, or they're just going to send them to another federal district court somewhere else? And we really don't know, because they don't know.
Yeah, that's so well said. They don't know. And that's what you point out is exactly what's so infuriating. Eric Holder's job is the law. I mean, that's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to interpret. They're supposed to look at it. Did they not sit down and hash this out? I would think that would be one of the easiest things that you could do. But maybe it's because, and correct me if I'm wrong, they're trying to placate. I think this administration is trying to placate the people who help get them elected. In other words, the big rallying cry supposedly to shut down Gitmo and to have these trials, that they should be tried and that they hadn't been processed. Do you think that's what it was? It was the race to hurry up and do something?
Well, that was the cry from the far left for the last 4 or 5 years, is that Gitmo's illegal, Gitmo's illegal, Gitmo's illegal. If you click your heels three times, you'll be back in Kansas. You know, that's what they're saying all along. So now that the president is unable to close Gitmo because he realizes from a practical perspective that we are at war, it's not illegal. So the realization that Gitmo is not illegal, we have nothing to apologize for, is slowly dawning on a lot of folks. But They're still very reluctant to give up this chant that they've had for year after year. And, you know, they're having to awake to the reality that now that you're in control of the government, you've got to act. You've got to take the leadership role. You can't be, you know, standing on the sidelines and complaining and demonizing and crying about things. You've got to take a leadership role. What we've seen is the American people have really taken the leadership role. The latest poll, 74% of the American people think that these folks should go to a military commission, including the underwear bomber.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mentioned Ahmadinejad and the fact that now he says, hey, we've produced this uranium to a much higher level, ha-ha, than you thought, and kind of threw it back in what we'll call the Western world's face because he says he's not going to be bullied into curtailing the nuclear program. And this was just on the heels of the U.S. imposed new sanctions. I mean, the whole time I've been on the air, we've been talking about sanctions. In your estimation, one, how dangerous is Ahmadinejad? And what do you think the play here is? What do you think the United States' play should be with Iran?
Well, I think President Sarkozy said it best, the French president. He said, here's our options. Either Iran gets the bomb or we bomb Iran. Our position since June, the president made his essentially assessment of how he's going to handle this problem. He said, and I'm paraphrasing, but pretty close to it, he said, we're going to enter into tough negotiations and see where it takes us. I mean, that's not how you deal with totalitarian regimes, is not see where it takes us. If your strategy is to enter into dialogue, it's going to take you into a losing position because the only thing that Iran will ever understand is the application or the threat of lawful violence at some level. And until the world, led by the United States, is willing to do that, or a coalition of the willing, they're going to get a nuclear weapon. And there's no one's going to stop them. They realize that. They're thumbing their nose at the Security Council. And, of course, certain members of the Security Council, to include Communist China and Russia, are up to their ears with financial ties to Iran. So you're not going to get a strong vote from the Security Council in terms of sanctions. And the sanctions that we are unilaterally putting on Iran are meaningless. And so unless we're willing to step up to the plate, they're going to get a nuclear weapon probably within a year, 2 years, depends on, you know, which commentator you listen to. But every day they're getting closer.
Yeah, no kidding. We just have like a minute or two left, but what is Joe Biden doing? The vice president predicting, like I said, looking into a crystal ball about, well, I don't see we're going to have another large-scale attack like 9/11. The truth is we don't know that. You're a terrorism expert, and you're trying to certainly when you talk to the FBI and when you have kids come through the school, the Center for Terrorism, St. Mary's, there's no way to know this, right? That's the bottom line.
Well, you know, it's based on we had our top intelligence chiefs recently testify before Congress that they thought that the United States was going to be subject to a al-Qaeda terror attack in the next 6 months. So that's probably where Biden is getting it from. There's an increase in the chatter, but, you know, quite frankly, yeah, nobody really knows. We do know that there are hundreds of radical al-Qaeda inspired fanatics in our own country, and there's thousands and tens of thousands outside of our own country that want to do us great harm. So if you do the math, yeah, it's simply a matter of time, and we need to have strong leadership. We need to be told that we are at war with al-Qaeda, and we need the actions to back up the rhetoric. You catch someone like the underwear bomber, this is a no-brainer. He's not a criminal defendant. He's an al-Qaeda terrorist that is an enemy combatant. You put him into indefinite detention, and you try him by military commission.
Yeah, boy, so well said. That's it in a nutshell. Jeff Atticott, thanks again, as always, for joining us on ATN. Thanks. We'll talk to you again down the line. Coming up on the flip side, a little Valentine action.
Okay, so you're sitting there listening to your favorite radio program, and all of a sudden, you hear GetTheTea.com. What the? GetTheTea.com? Then you think to yourself, I don't drink tea. Now for the truth. Many people don't drink tea, but they drink energy drinks, colas, juices from concentrates, which all carry high levels of sugar and caffeine. Sugar is a toxin. Sugar does not help you, nor does caffeine. Your colon could be clogged, causing dangerous consequences. This is why GetTheTea.com will help. Specially formulated by a PhD to remove harmful toxins from your body. Lose weight naturally and clean the system in your body and feel more energy. Order now at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or you can call now at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. No tea works like GetTheTea.com.
Originally, we the people have entrusted government to be the guardians of currency, to ensure purity, content, weights and measures of gold and silver coins citizens would use for commerce. This reinstalled confidence after the demise of the fiat continental system, wisdom being lost with time. The government we once entrusted to protect from counterfeit has colluded with private business, creating the largest fiat counterfeiting scheme our country ever experienced. This is not only a transfer of power to an institution that is not accountable to our elected government, but has also caused the dollar to lose more than 90 cents of its original value. Now foreign governments are trying to divest themselves from this once world reserve currency. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm offering a book that explains how the system works. Call me today at 800-686-2237. I will give you a silver dollar free just for purchasing the book. Call today at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your two-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Valentine's Day. I have to say that My Funny Valentine is probably one of my favorite songs, and the renditions are across the board. I mean, who doesn't sing this song? I've heard rock versions, I've heard heavy metal versions, I've heard jazz versions, and that's a pretty nice one, too. Bobby O'Neill steps in. He is Canada's Dr. Love. And how did he earn that title? Well, he's got an interesting game, an interesting theory about love. The game is called Synchro Hearts, and here's what you're supposed to do with this. It's a very popular game for couples who are trying to figure out what's going on with the communication in their relationship and how they can improve that. And man, don't I know it, divorce rate up over 50%, 1 in 2 relationships going down the tubes. I frankly think people, when things get hard, they just cut and run. It's like, forget it, I'm moving on to the next thing, I'm not putting up with this. So without further ado, Bobby O'Neill in from the green room. Hi, Bobby, how are you?
Excellent, Kate. Honor to join you, and thank you very much for having me on your show from Vancouver, Canada.
Oh, you're welcome. And we'll talk about that, Vancouver and the Olympics. You sent me an interesting little picture today. We'll talk about that. But first of all, let's talk about how you became known as Canada's Dr. Love. How did you get that little nickname?
Well, creating the relationship game is what started it, and then I was on a national television show called The Dragon's Den, which is similar to the Shark Tank in the U.S., and I was presented my love game, and voters voted me into the top 10, and I was given the bestowment of Canada's Dr. Love.
Ooh, that's a nice title. And you say this, you have no fear of telling people this. You say that, you know, that when you, in your own marriage, you felt like you were in trouble, and that's how the game started, right?
Yeah, it was amazing. You know, my wife and I were both working and busy and raising a family, and we were slowly drifting apart because we weren't communicating effectively and not spending enough time together. And as you mentioned, Kate, I think a lot of times people just cut and run. They jump out too early, and which, you know, that 50% divorce rate, and I wanted to do something, and I was inspired to create a game that would, it saved our marriage, and now it's selling around the world and helping couples communicate and connect their hearts.
You know, this is the thing. We talk about the whole communication. We're verbal. A lot of us are verbal people, so it's so odd that the lanes of communication somehow get shut down. Why do you think that somebody has to step up to the plate, right, and say, hey, we need to start working on some things? So I think somebody in a couple, somebody would need to make that first step, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's, you know, with the inspiration of the game was that it helps couples to do that together, because a lot of times you're right, in a relationship, one partner might be willing to communicate while the other one's happy to sit on the couch and watch sports. So the game kind of allows the couples to initiate the communication and work together. And as you know, it's so important to work together in a relationship.
Yeah, no kidding. Why a game, though? Why a game? Like, why did you go in that direction? You could have written a book. You could have done, email blast or newsletters. Why did you do the game thing?
I think a lot of times in our relationships as adults, we've forgotten the sense of play and the spontaneity aspect of a board game. So, yeah, I've read a lot of books, and there's some amazing books out there. But the whole idea of the game is it allowed us to play with our partner. The game provided spontaneity, because every time you roll that dice, you never know what you're going to get. And that creates some excitement and romance. So the game seemed like the perfect format, you know, to enhance the relationship.
Tell everybody some of the things that happen in this game. What are some of the things that you do in the game?
Well, I really made sure, first of all, it was safe for men to play. Because if it was a counseling game, I know I probably wouldn't play it, and a lot of other guys wouldn't. So I made sure the game, it takes less than an hour to play, and that's important for us guys, because as you know, Kate, we have a short attention span.
Uh-huh.
And it had to be a game that was not competitive. So this is a win-win type game. It has hugs and kisses and massages, and then 300 cards in 4 card categories that deal with everything from fun and love and laughter to romance, to inspirational cards, to grow the relationship. So it's all-encompassing.
What do you say to people? This is good, because what do you say to there are people that are taking the plunge, as much as the divorce rate is up in the United States, for example. What do you say to people starting out? I've recently been to a lot of weddings, a lot of friends that are younger and a lot of friends that are older that have decided to get married. What advice do you have people who are just coming together and then walking down the aisle?
I think it's really important. You know what it's like in those early stages. We're in love, we're in lust, everything seems perfect. I think it's really important not to take the relationship for granted, and that things change over time. Kids come along, finances become a concern. So the relationship requires constant tune-up to keep it loving and respectful. And a lot of times I think couples just grow apart because they weren't aware of all the things that were going on in their lives that were driving them apart.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. Speaking of being driven apart, there's that other thing, too, I think, the fascination with hooking up with somebody else. And especially this is something that happens a lot with very uber-famous people. We just saw what's going on with Tiger Woods, and he has, you know, an incredibly flawless-looking wife who I've seen up close and personal, and I think she's the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. Which, I know the beauty thing goes more than the skin, but how did Tiger Woods get into this whole, you know, crazy thing that he fell into?
It's amazing, isn't it, how these guys who seem to have everything, whether it be Tiger, Letterman, or Senator Edwards, they're setting a bad example for men. You know, they have decided to look at the grass that seems to be greener on the other side of the fence, but as we know, you know, infidelities affects all families. And so I think that whether it be the power and the greed that, you know, that they think they have control and are able to, you know, have extramarital sex. But what it does do, it gives men a bad reputation and it impacts, tremendous impact on all the families. And as you say, Tiger's wife is beautiful, amazing kids. Why would he sacrifice that?
Yeah, why? Exactly. Why would he do that? Man, it's just crazy. All right, we'll tell everyone how they can first of all go to your website. It's the three W's is normal. SynchroHearts.com, and you can get a copy of the game that way. It's very cool. You sent me a copy of it. It's really a lot of fun. It is. and whether you're, you know, long-term into your relationship or whatever, and we talked about some of the reasons why. But here you are in Vancouver. We have to take the time to ask you about the Olympics. Is there a big buzz in the air about the Olympics opening ceremonies tomorrow?
It sure is, and I love the fact because you used to be a sports announcer, weren't you? You were
yes.
So that's amazing.
The buzz in the air
is fantastic here in Vancouver. The weather's not cooperating, but that's okay. They've done things to work around it. But to see the world here on our doorstep, it's Vancouver, for all your listeners out there, it's a beautiful place, and we're about to host the Winter Olympics, and there is a tremendous buzz in the air.
So there's got to be a lot of people there, and I heard now the snow situation is starting to get under control, right? Because there was worries about Cyprus and what was going to happen and would there be enough snow. But I heard earlier today, I got a text message from someone actually at Fox where I used to work, where you were mentioning I was doing sports, that it looks like the situation is better now. Is that right?
It is. In fact, you know, a week ago they were going to the extreme of trucking snow and helicoptering snow from one mountain to another to make sure the events at Cyprus could go ahead. But, you know, thankfully things happen for a reason and the right timing, and we finally are getting some snow in the last few days.
Yeah, no kidding. You sent me a picture that was really cool that you posed with the one of the relay torch runners with the Olympic torch. Was that the Olympic torch? Yeah, it was relay torch runner that you posed with. What was that like?
Oh, it was an amazing feeling, a real emotional feeling. And, it was amazing to be able to hold the game up and have a picture taken with the, you know, that's on our website. And what it really emphasized for me, though, is that as athletes, they have to train to perfection and work on things. In our relationships, it's the same thing. We need to go for the gold in our relationship, and it takes a lot of work.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. Well, it was a lot of fun having you on the show, and we'd love to have you back sometime. You can give us your inside scoop, Dr. Love, on what we all need to do, because I guess you can never get enough of it. Bobby O'Neill, thanks so much, and happy Valentine's Day to you.
Happy Valentine's. Kate, may I mention the charity that we support quickly?
Sure. Sure.
It's a Zajac Ranch. It's a ranch in Mission for kids with special needs, and it's supported around the world. And the late Paul Newman was a big supporter of the ranch, and that's on our website, the Zajac Ranch, a miraculous and wonderful place for kids.
All right, excellent. Everybody check it out. All right, thanks, Bobby. You have a good one.
Thank you. Happy Valentine's.
All right, thank you. And so it's interesting, you know, we're talking about the Olympics, and I mentioned that I had gotten that text, and the snow is fine, and he said the same thing. But the buzz is in the air. Opening ceremonies, baby. You have to have some of that, what do they call it? Jingoistic pride, although that's not necessarily a good word. We'll just say
when you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Why is drinking pure high alkaline pH water the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Because alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Diseased organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using AlkaVision pH Drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to an alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
This is Alex Jones, and I want to tell you about the Ecola Blue Atmospheric Water Generator that produces pure drinking water right from the humidity in the air. No, this isn't science fiction. It's very real. I know because I use one every day in my own home, and it's available right now to you. Because you know exactly where your water comes from with Ecola Blue, you'll know what's in your cup. Clean, great-tasting water without all the pollutants. Get your family off the grid today by ordering your own Ecola Blue Atmospheric Water Generator for your home or business. Their best seller, the Ecola Blue 28, produces up to 7 gallons of water every day. The Ecola Blue 28 is easy to use and economical. Generate your own pure water from the humidity in the air. This system is free of chemicals and uses a multi-stage filtration system, including reverse osmosis, carbon filters, and ultraviolet lights. Order now and claim your water independence today by calling Ecola Blue at 1-800-691-6043. That's 1-800-691-6043. Or visit Ecola Blue on the web at www.ecoloblue.com today.
Special Roast Hemp Coffee from HempUSA.org. Our coffee grows in the dense volcanic-rich soil, herbicide and pesticide-free, in the high altitudes of Guatemala, in conditions that are ideal for the natural growth of this high-quality coffee. Try our mellow cup of coffee that is ground and roasted with 25% hemp seed from Canada. With a wonderful nutty flavor that contains 18% protein, our roasters bring out a unique flavor that make this the best cup of coffee you'll ever have. Try our new special roast hemp coffee from HempUSA.org and wake up your brain without the jitters. Our customers look forward to their next cup of hemp coffee. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608 and see if you'll change your mind about drinking coffee again. Taste the difference, feel the difference at HempUSA.org today.
I need you.
Love songs run a little bit here on America Tonight. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Which is really Sunday, but let's be the first to wish you a happy heart day. Speaking of the heart, how about Clinton making some big news? The former president has two stents placed in one of his coronary arteries, rather, after feeling this discomfort kind of sensation in his chest. Hillary Clinton left D.C. for New York to end up being beside Bill Clinton. And remember, I think it was 2004 when he had the heart attack. So anytime you hear anything about a former president, no matter what, it made giant headlines. I started to see it crawl across whatever cable station I was watching. And anywhere you check, he's in the news with this. And the procedure, I've actually known a couple of people in my life that have had that done. I mean, he's 63 years old. He's sort of in good shape because he dumped a bunch of weight after he had that initial heart attack. I mean, I don't know as far as the heart situation. He was cutting back on the heavy things that he was eating and, you know, whatever. So the cardiologist said there wasn't any kind of an evidence present of a heart attack. He just had these chest discomforts, and they were brief and repetitive, and he had it for a couple of days, so he was too worried about it. And it was the quadruple bypass surgery that he had initially, because it was brutal. He had four blocked arteries, and it's not a result of anything related to that whatsoever. So he got the stents, and I guess he's getting that clear bill of health from all of his doctors, and they, you know, he's trying to recover, and he's going to travel, or the Secretary of State's going to travel to the Middle East, and he was going to be part of another delegation that went back to Haiti, and apparently that'll happen once he feels like he's 100% better, but he just had chest pains. You know, it's like Clinton Cheney. Who has a heart attack next? More jokes were made, though, I think, about Cheney, because it seemed like any time the guy felt like he was faint and short of breath or whatever, that's when somebody thought the big one was going to happen to him for all the procedures that he's had. Speaking of the big one, I mentioned this when we were talking to Jeff Atticott at the beginning of America Tonight, and the crazy Joe Biden projecting out there that we would not have another huge, large-scale terror attack on the U.S., that it was unlikely. Well, of course, we're not wishing for that to happen, but he said it. Here's the other part of this. He said this on Wednesday, that he felt very confident that this was unlikely, it wouldn't happen. Now, the reason that Jeff Atticott said this is because recently intelligence folks told Congress that the terror network could be expected to try another attack maybe in 3 to 6 months. You know, they put that number out there. But he said it's unlikely. He said the idea of a massive attack is unlikely. He's trying to get Madam Cleo's job, I swear. He's forecasting the future out there. And, you know, this is the deal with Biden. He's so known for this, right? So, I hope we don't see that. But what do we ultimately think is possible? The more we have loopholes in the system and stuff like the Christmas Day underwear bomber, and then the ridiculous flip-flopping of, oof, where are we trying, and are they enemy combatants, and, oh, no, they should go through our courts, the more that I think you create those gaps, and I don't, that, to me, is the scary part. So is a terror attack likely in the U.S.? I saw it on a website today. That was what it was. The poll was, is a terror attack likely? And I don't know. What do you think? You think it's likely that we could have another terror attack? I think that we've been lucky that some of these attacks have been thwarted, to be honest. The idiot in Dallas, the guy in Denver, the situation in New York, the Christmas Day bomber. I mean, that really, you want to talk about one that came really close? That was really close, let's face it. I mean, that was like a flick of a lighter away. That's how quickly that could have changed the face of what we've been talking about and would still be deep in the middle of. Who knows what the airports would be like as a result of that. But on the website that I saw, they asked that question, that layup question, and say, well, you know, you could answer yes, but a large-scale attack, not like a large-scale attack like 9/11, or no, security is better than it's ever been, or yes, some sort of attack is inevitable. I'll tell you the one thing that I think is no, security is better than it's ever been, I would disagree with. Is some sort of attack inevitable? I think it was Fox. It was either Fox or CNN. Some sort of attack is inevitable. Sadly, the more stories we hear, the more possibilities of that happening. And, you know, this is one of the main things that we're talking about on America Tonight constantly, the bungling and the things that the balls that are dropped and the CIA having to take it on the chin in the beginning of last year and how that went on for, geez, a couple of months and losing some great people who were involved in counterterrorism for the United States. I mean, that's the key, right? Isn't that the key to all this? Having the best, the brightest on the front lines, people who speak Farsi, people who can assimilate, people who can get into the mosque, because that's where this is all emanating from, wherever the mosque happened to be, whether it starts in the United States or it's in Yemen or someplace else in the Middle East. What has happened as far as the possible attacks, that's where it's coming from, certain radical imams. And the key is having having the right people to intercept the calls, to figure out the possibilities, connect the money dots, always about that money, and finding out where the money is coming from. That's the way you stop those attacks. Somebody being alert, somebody tipping somebody off, somebody ratting someone out, and the all-important deal of assimilation. You have to have the right people that are able to do that, right? Speaking of forecasting, I'm going to jump around here as we usually do on America Tonight. And the reason I'm going to jump to this one is because we talked about this on the show. In fact, many of you called to say this. There is a fear that too much conversation about Toyota, too much conversation about what's happening with Toyota, with the president and these recalls and all that other sort of stuff, and the Senate Commerce Committee, they're going to have a Toyota hearing on March 2nd, but they don't have a witness list yet, but they're going to dig into this. You've got a lot of people, including people that listen to America Tonight, because you work in places that supply parts to Toyotas, who are a little bit rattled their nerves as to whether or not they're going to have jobs with what's happening in this Toyota recall. And I think this March 2nd hearing is partially about that, to alleviate some of the fears for the car owners and also company employees about the recalls. But it also would trickle down into other places where parts are made, since the majority of that is happening in the United States. And the recall is so big, and some of the headlines have been so bloody ugly, that there's a concern that, this could be deadly to so many. Maybe, maybe a couple, 200, 250 is what I heard, who make their living in other ways for Toyota. Not the traditional ways, like you're on the lot somewhere, but through other avenues, other channels and plants doing the parts thing and other things related to Toyota as a customer, and ultimately what that will do if people just decide, they keep hearing this about Toyotas, they don't want to go get those cars anymore, and when people are shopping around, they decide to shop for other things instead, because all they keep hearing about is Toyota problems and all this sort of stuff. So the Toyota president is smart to visit the United States because of all the recalls, because then he can get in front of this committee and say exactly what happened at Toyota and how they're handling it and all that other sort of stuff, and maybe ease some of the fears of people that are worried about the cars and worried about what's going on with the company, because they've never had anything quite that big. All right, I've been talking about these snowstorms on the East Coast and the large amounts of snow that we've talked about, record setting in Philadelphia over 70 inches, and in Washington, D.C., almost the same thing. They're like 60-something. And this has all happened, not just the recent storms, but even previous storms, at the high, crazy amounts of snow. And now I can also put myself in that category. I'm going to tell you about it on the flip side, because Dallas, Texas, not known for snow. In fact, you don't find a lot of snow plows in the state of Texas, let alone in a big city like Dallas. I'll tell you what it's been like, because it's still snowing, my friends. Keep it here on America Tonight.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey Light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey Guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653 or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
We are now in 2010. Change is the buzzword. Politics are changing in the negative direction. How about positive change? Thousands of customers have experienced positive change. Yes, thousands. How? By logging on to GetTheTea.com. Thousands of people have lost weight or felt better or experienced extra energy just by drinking Life Change Tea. That's why they called it Life Change Tea, because it changes your life for the positive. Life Change Tea's natural ingredients go to work on your body, cleansing harmful chemicals and toxins from your system, which makes you fat and lethargic. Do you want a life change? Log on and join the thousands. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Oh, and by the way, it tastes great. So call us right now. 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Life Change Tea is a proud member of the Better Business Bureau.
That are friends, because I think you can have girls that are friends or women that are friends or whatever. Just don't forget Valentine's Day if you're really tight with them. Okay? Seriously. It's like a made-up holiday, but it's one that people recognize. It's not really a holiday. It's a recognition day. How about that? So I think you have to pay attention to a recognition day. And I already said this on the air. You don't have to spend a ton of money. Make some cupcakes. Any guy who makes a woman cupcakes, they're just going to like it because you did something. You made something. I'm not good at the whole gift thing. That's just my two cents versus the whole flowers, perfume. You could do the candy thing, but that's just so obvious is the deal. It's also so obvious to me that when you live in a place like Dallas, Texas, you're not expecting 10 inches of snow. But guess what? I'm in the middle. I am sitting in 10 inches of snow, and it is still falling. I just ran outside quickly while we were paying some bills to go and check to see. I took my little yardstick out there, and it is 10 inches, and it is still falling. So for all of you in the Midwest listening in Illinois and other places where you get big, bountiful snowfalls, I haven't seen that kind of – I have in my lifetime – but I haven't seen that kind of snowfall since I moved to our satellite facility in Dallas. And it's surprising because in a city like this one, whereas in the East Coast they're running out of salt and they don't have the budget for the snowplows, they don't even have a snowplow. I checked, no lie, I checked today because somebody had told me that. And I called and asked, I called City Hall to ask them about that, about how many snow plows they had or whatever, because now they're talking about this is going to freeze over and turn into ice and just be a nightmare. Well, the truth of it is they don't have any. They have zero. Zip, nada. So in our fifth largest city, they have no snow plow. It's a little bit different. So I'm going to imagine that there were people earlier in the day, because they do sell, they sell shovels, of course, and snow blowers. They're hard to find, but you can get a snow blower, but you're really hard-pressed to find any kind of a plow whatsoever. So you can add the Dallas, Texas is one of those strange places for now that has been hit by the snow. Let's check in with our Donovan Madsen and find out what's happening in the belly of the beast, the mothership, Minneapolis, Minnesota. How about the snowfall there? It's not snowing right now, right? It's just on the ground.
Yeah, it's just on the ground. Our last heavy snowfall was back Monday and Tuesday, and it was only about 8 inches or so.
Eight inches. So, wow, so we beat you in that category, huh?
Right. It's been kind of a not very snowy year overall for us.
Well, see, that's because everybody else is getting snowed in.
And yeah, I think we've been sharing the joy a little bit.
Yes. And now all the fun things, the snowmageddons and all the things that people have been talking about, I have experienced, yes. And all of you know I have a golden retriever, so walking the golden retriever was fun. The good news was he was exhausted. By the time he took a spin for a couple of miles walking around in the white stuff, he was exhausted. He just passed out. To the point of you could barely even see his heart beating. You know how their hearts beat and you can see their little chest kind of going. You could see nothing. But I thought you'd find it interesting while others are struggling with the idea of how are we going to pay for the snow removal. In Dallas, Texas, they don't even have any way to remove it because there aren't those trucks. They do have some salts and they were able to salt things down. But they're very, very concerned about accidents and ice coming up on Friday. All right, other things in odds and ends to jump to. It's oof, it's like a box of chocolates, right? You never know what you're going to get on this show. And we got some interesting things to talk about, no doubt. One, don't forget, of course, the Olympics. If you're a fan of any of the sports, the Olympics opening ceremonies are on Friday, and then they continue through the next couple of weeks, and we'll of course keep you up to date on what's going on with the Americans and the medals and everybody else. But Vancouver, where we talked to Bobby O'Neill, the site for the Olympic Games, as you heard us ask him about that, you have figure skating and speed skating and short track skating and snowboarding and freestyle skiing and all kinds of things in the Winter Olympics. I actually wasn't a big fan of the snowboarding deal. But then when I watched it, and then when I once tried to do it and realized, oh, this is pretty tough, I kind of have a new respect for people who can do the snowboarding thing. I'm more of like the traditionalist, the downhill, you know, that kind of stuff. I love the downhill events. But what's going to happen for some people who will want to watch the Olympics, like I know Jana in Iowa, and probably Tom in Kansas, and maybe Edna will be listening to them too as well. They're talking about the whole tape delayed thing, and NBC is saying it's going to have fewer delayed events than they have in previous Olympic Games in North America. But some major skiing events, like the one I like, the downhill, the slalom, have to be recorded earlier in the day and shown on the network at night. That's when the people are watching, is what they figure for sure. They're going to carry figure skating and all this stuff that I mentioned during prime time, except for West Coast viewers, because they have to wait and get all of the prime time and daytime events that air on NBC with a time delay. So that's an interesting dilemma. When you tape delay things, I think you gotta account for the fact that you're losing people because they know the results. We live in the Twitter, Facebook, immediate internet. I mean, you find out things radio, hello, turn on the radio, anything. You find out about things instantaneously. So do you watch events after you know who's won because the drama's over? So probably NBC believes with the whole tape delay thing, they lose about 250 mil on the games because they have to figure out a way to maximize the audience at night. But they can't alienate it, so it does create this problem. And they've got scores that they put on these Olympic websites, but it doesn't matter. If NBC has it, I mean, everybody else has it, because you've got, 400 hours of this stuff? Probably, I don't know how much it is, but somewhere in that neighborhood. And it's a buzzkill to me. I mean, the way information travels, the way it moves, there's just no question. If you tell me what has happened in a game, and I'm a sports fan, if you tell me what's happened in a game or of anything, I'm not going to be watching it because there's other things that I'd have to do. So I wouldn't sit down and watch something where I knew the result. It would be like you telling me a book. Oh, I got this great book you got to read. Like, let's pretend it's Mark in New York. You got to read Peter Lance's book, Triple Cross, Kate, Triple Cross, which, by the way, I have read. But if he told me the entire book and the entire ending and the entire point of the book, then, I don't know, reading it isn't quite the same thing. You want to unravel the mystery. And the same thing with sports. You want to figure out, you want to get excited about Michael Phelps in the pool. Is he going to win this next gold medal? Or is Vaughn going to go down and take a medal for the ladies in the downhill or whatever? And if you know it already, I really got to say, buzzkill, big time. So not that I feel sorry for NBC, because, boy, they are really losing a lot of money lately, aren't they? They screwed up with the Conan O'Brien thing. They had to pay him big bucks to get out of his contract. They had to move Jay Leno over. Now they've got this tape delay thing that they say will cost them a big chunk of money, too. Let's just hope they don't let the little guys go. Because like most companies, it's the lower layers that ultimately suffer the most, because they're the people that end up getting laid off, or they close a bureau, news bureau or two, or something like that. So never the top layer, never. I'm going to leave you with this thought. I love this one, too, by the way. I'm not even going to tell you who said it. You're going to have to look it up for yourself. Here I am at the end of the road and at the top of the heap. Anyone who knows who said that, email it to me. First person to email the right answer, I'm going to send you a book from my personal library, americatonight.net.
Life in another man's hands, asked him to put his life in yours.